Let's turn now today to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And we're going to talk about the joy of the Lord and the blessing of God, and actually the experience of meeting with Him later, face to face. A wonderful thing to talk about, to discuss, an easy sermon to preach. We want to turn to chapter 5 of 2 Corinthians. Chapter 5. Now we know that we've been actually looking at, in the last chapter, actually allowing the self-denial or the death to be in our lives, that the life of Jesus might shine forth in us, dying with Christ, that we shall also be used by Him in a wonderful way. Let's just take a look at verse 12 again as a review of chapter 4. It says, so then death works in us, but life in you. And so we appreciate the death of Jesus for us on the cross. We go ahead and follow Him, deny ourselves, take up our cross and follow Him. And so there'll be those times that we're asked to actually die for others in a very living sacrifice type way. And so we've been studying that. And of course, as the Apostle Paul ministered, he was in threat of death all the time. And so now at chapter 5, he begins to talk about that event and that day of meeting Jesus as encouragement and blessing in the context of this book. And so let's read chapter 5, verse 1. It says, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Now this word tabernacle here in chapter 5 verse 1 actually means tent. It is what they met in, if we want to call it the first church in the wilderness. God gave them the dimensions to build what we know from the Bible as the tabernacle or the tent of meeting. And Paul is actually using this terminology having been a tent maker himself. He and Priscilla and Aquila actually joined forces to make tents to support the ministry. And so they would make a tent, sell the tent, and have money for the ministry. And so Paul's using this imagery in the Lord to let us know that our earthly house of this tent or tabernacle is temporary. And of course, as we get a little older, God really wouldn't have to tell us that because we know we're, you know, kind of wasting away kind of thing, you know, as we had last week from the Greek. But the thing is that we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, dust to dust, ashes to ashes, the cremation, the ashes, the being buried in the grave as dust to dust, that we do have a permanent house, a building of God, a house. Now, this is a permanent structure. From the Greek word that's used there, this is a permanent structure, not a temporary structure. So God is going to give us a permanent structure when we get to heaven that's eternal, eternal in the heavens. And so He wants you to know that. And the Apostle Paul is blessed to know that. He wants to pass that on since he was in the threat of death all the time. And of course, all of us getting closer to that day every day of our lives. And one day Jesus will come and take us to be with Him. And so there is a house eternal in the heavens, a new body that's waiting for each one of us. So with that, let's go ahead and turn to, I'd like to show you about what it says about having a new body in heaven, Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20. So keep your hand in chapter 5 of 2 Corinthians, and turn over, as you go a little further in the Bible, to Philippians chapter 3, verse 20. And it talks about a new body, a new model that we'll trade in this old one for. And it says this, for our conversation or manner of living is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, we're looking for Him, and He's closer today than He was yesterday to coming. Who shall change our vile body? And so you can see God understands that we have trouble with this body. You know, when you get a new car, well, I guess Toyota's going through this now. You know, you get a new car and sometimes they have to recall it because it's vile in some sense, so they have to change it out or whatever. And God knows that we know that our bodies, our knees wear out, you know, different things, we get hurt. He understands that. And so he will change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, his glorious resurrection body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Nothing's impossible for God. There's nothing too hard for him. And so he is has and will design for you a brand new body. And what a blessing. Now, the scripture really is clear that you'll be you in heaven. We know that when Moses and Elijah appeared with Jesus at the Mount of Transfiguration, Moses had been dead 1,200 years, and Elijah had been dead 900 years, but they were still themselves. And so we know that when we get to heaven, you're going to be you. You're not going to fade into some kind of big fuzzball thing like in Hinduism. You're you forever and ever. You're just going to have a body that'll last you for eternity. And so that, just imagine the design of that body. This body just isn't cutting it or making it that far. And so what a blessing to know that this is in the scriptures. Now, let's go back then to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And we want to read down a little bit here. And it says in verse 2, we just read verse 1. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven, if so be that being clothed we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle, the tent, the temporary dwelling, do groan, being burdened, not for that we should be unclothed, but clothed upon that mortality might be swallowed up of life. So there's some groaning that goes on, and you might identify with that. Maybe you're playing basketball and you hurt your back and you go, oh, you know, or my back's really hurting me. That's a groaning that goes on to actually desiring the new body when you can slam dunk it and not even feel it or do whatever. And so that's coming. Read the commentary by Dr. McGee on this, and Dr. McGee's so funny. He says he's coming down the stairs groaning. And his wife said, Vernon, stop that groaning. And he said, why should I? It's biblical. You don't argue with a Bible teacher, right? On that. For in this we groan, earnestly desire to be clothed upon with our house from heaven. Now, let's go on to verse 5. It says, now he that has worked this in us for the selfsame thing is God, who also has given to us the earnest or the down payment of the Spirit. Now, the Spirit of God has been sent by the Lord to actually bear witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Let me read a scripture about the Holy Spirit from John 16:13. Jesus speaking says, when the Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He will show you things to come. And so we have this witness, and the Holy Spirit is here teaching all of us right now and giving us revelation in our hearts that this is true, that one day we will have a new body. The Spirit is given to minister to us and help us along in the teaching and showing us things about the future, that we might be comforted and have grace to see what God's bringing. And so praise God for this new body and the Spirit here to help us know about that. Now, let's go on to verse 6 then. And it says, therefore, we are always confident, knowing that while we're at home in this body right now, we are absent from the Lord. Now, the Lord is with us, but we look through a glass darkly. Then, when Jesus comes for us, we'll see face to face and we'll know even as we are known. Until then, we have this kind of looking glass between us, excuse me, a little window, a little tinted window between us. We look through a glass darkly. And so while we are at home in this body, we are absent in that sense of not being face to face with the Lord yet. For we walk by faith and not by sight. Excuse me. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Yes, that day, that great waking up day when we're present with the Lord and we look Him in the eyes and see His beautiful, lovely eyes that have been watching us carefully all through our lives, what a day that will be. And so we'd rather be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Now, this scripture is very, very wonderful in its instruction. Sorry, I should probably get some water. I got that. Thank you so much. Okay. Shows us that the minute, the second you close your eyes here, you wake up in heaven. There's no waiting period. Thank God. Oh my. Just to be thinking of myself laid out in a coffin just makes me hyperventilate to think in this little room, you know, for how many years. And so to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Glory, hallelujah. Now, verse 9, therefore we labor that whether present or absent, present with the Lord or absent from Him in that way of seeing Him face to face, we may be accepted of Him. Now, I like the NIV translation on this, to be accepted of Him, because it puts it this way, our goal is to please Him. And that is a good word to have here in the translation for us, because we have other scripture that can help us to know how to be accepted of the Lord. And we go in our minds right now to Hebrews 11:6, which says this, without faith, it's impossible to please Him. And so if my goal is to please Him, then I do want to be stirred up in faith to really believe the Lord, to labor to enter His rest through faith in Christ, faith in the living God and His ability. To be accepted by Him is paramount. And what a blessing to know that that road is along the road of just believing and trusting in Christ to please Him and to be accepted of Him. Let's take a look at this idea in Ephesians. It's such a beautiful description of it. Let's keep our hand in 2 Corinthians 5 and go to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1 and starting at verse 3. Ephesians chapter 1, starting at verse 3. If you're ever feeling kind of not confident about your relationship with Jesus, but you've been a Christian for years, read the first three chapters of Ephesians. It is so liberating to just know what it is again to be in Christ, in Christ. And so we read verse 3 of Ephesians 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Now this, of course, speaks of that day when we'll see Him in heavenly places. But also, I really believe this is speaking about today and the spiritual blessings we receive every day. That when we gather like this, and we're talking to Jesus and listening to Jesus and singing to Jesus, we're in a heavenly place because Jesus is gathered with us. When two or three or more are gathered in His name, there He is in the midst of them, the middle of our congregation. And couldn't you feel the joy as we sang, the joy of the Lord is our strength, and just the bubbly happiness of it all. And Marvin is such a blessing, and the choir, to just lead us, and the joy of the Lord is our strength. Praise God. And so in these heavenly places, I had an experience the other day that was so neat. A few years ago, we read an article in the Reader's Digest about always leaving a quarter in a place where a child can find it. And I think they might like chocolate a little better. But, you know, Marie was sharing with me today that there's this saying, you know, that I said the word exercise one time, but I had to wash my mouth out with chocolate. So anyway, that's a good one to remember. Good one to remember. But you know, always leave a quarter in a place where a child can find it. And you know, the other day I was walking on the beach on Friday when I do my sermon, I go to pray, and the spiritual battle sometimes is pretty intense on Fridays, as you well imagine, study day. And so I'm walking on the beach and just kind of feeling insecure and stuff. And I looked down and there was a quarter. Oh yeah. And it's just the Lord reminding me. And where was the quarter sitting? On top of all that sand. And what does the scripture say that God always has me quote, and we need to remember, God's always thinking about us, is that his thoughts towards us are like the sand on the seashore. And so there's my quarter and my sand all in one hand, the Lord just saying, you know what, I'm here, I'm with you, and what a blessing. Well, I got to share one more testimony with you, because after first service, there was a brother here at that service that heard me share this, and he said, that is just so ironic. He said, I woke up in the middle of the night the other night, and I thought I lost my salvation. And he was just worried about that. And he said, it was just amazing, because I just felt a hand on my shoulder, and God started singing to me from Willie Nelson. You're always on my mind. Isn't that good? He got so blessed, and he just knew it was the Lord, you know? Oh, I hope I did Willie okay. Anyway, praise the Lord. Now, where am I in my sermon here? Okay, we're still reading, aren't we? Okay, verse 4, Ephesians 1. According as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. When did God choose you? Before the foundation of the world. How did he do that? It was through foreknowledge. He knew you were going to accept him. So he just went ahead and chose you. Hallelujah. Now it says here that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. That is just such a wonderful thought to me, that when I see Jesus face to face, I will be without blame. Blame will be completely not there. And this is just so wonderful to know about our Jesus and his work on the cross for us. Can you say without blame? Without blame, praise the Lord. Having predestined us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted in the beloved. And so there's that word accepted, connecting with the King James word in 2 Corinthians 5. I need to be accepted of him. Well, he has made me by his grace, it says here, accepted in the beloved, in Christ. If I'm in Christ, I'm accepted by God. Now, if I'm not in Christ, I'm not accepted by God. He that has the Son has life. He that has not the Son of God has not life, but the wrath of God abides upon him. And so, brothers and sisters, it's so important for you to be in Christ, to abide in Jesus, to walk with him and talk with him, be close to him. And as we're in Christ, we are accepted. We are pleasing to the Lord. So this is a wonderful, wonderful thought. Now, with this in mind, we know that the Apostle Paul put it this way, for me to live is Christ. That's all I am. That's all I ever can be. In my walk with the Lord, to be accepted by him and pleasing him, to me, for me to live is Christ. And to die is simply gain, because I just go on to the reward that Christ has for me in the hereafter. So let's go back now to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and look at verse 10. And we want to spend a little time on verse 10, because this is the great waking up day here in verse 10, the meeting that we'll have with Jesus one day in the heavenlies. And it says in verse 10, 2 Corinthians 5. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in his body according to that he has done, whether it be good or bad. And so that day's coming. Now this judgment seat of Christ is different from the great white throne judgment. The great white throne judgment in Revelation 20, where people are cast into the lake of fire, is that judgment day for the one that doesn't have Christ. It says, I saw the dead, small and great, stand before the throne, the great judgment day, the great white throne judgment. And we're told that Jesus said this, I am the resurrection, the life. He that believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And he that lives and believes in me shall never die. So we are not members of the dead, because we'll never die. We just go to sleep here and wake up in heaven. And so this judgment that is described here is the judgment for the believer. And you know, you must know the song, you can only imagine. I can only imagine what it'll be like to see Jesus face to face. What will I do? Will I fall on my face? Will I fall to my knees? Will I just be still? I don't know. I can only imagine. But this is something God has given us that we don't need to leave to our imaginations, this part of the scripture. For he says we will all appear before his judgment seat. This word for judgment seat is the Greek word bema seat, bema. And one of the Greek scholars I read defines it like this. It's a definite reference to an athletic analogy where actually athletes come and receive their rewards. It's a reward center, because we know that there's no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. But actually, instead of being condemnation or blame, he's going to present us blameless before him. Therefore, it is like a reward center, a judgment seat of rewards. Now, how many watch the Olympics here? Anybody watch the Olympics? Yeah. Do you know Apollo Ohno? Oh, man, what a sprinter, huh? On the ice, just faster than a speeding bullet. Yeah, and able to leap over fallen skaters. Yeah, he's just something, that guy. He received 8 medals total for games past and this game together to become a record holder in number of medals won and a winner Olympics. Now, the thing is this. They had an interview with Apollo Ohno, and you probably maybe saw it, and they asked him, they said, are you disappointed that you didn't win gold? He said, well, I would have rather win gold, of course. But he said, no, I'm not disappointed. I'm just glad to be here. I'm just glad to be here. And he has silvers and bronzes and I believe maybe 2 golds. I'm not sure about, I think it's 2 golds. But he is just so blessed and happy about that. And I think that this is the way it'll be when we get to heaven and face Jesus, look him in the face. Because we will be, those deeds in our body will be dealt with, whether it be good or bad. And so we don't like to think about the bad. And God has set up a system to where he can take care of the bad things and have you come out perfect before him as you look him in the face, that he might have perfect acceptance for you and love for you through the blood of Jesus. And let's go ahead now and turn to 1 Corinthians 3, verse 11, and talk about this process. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 11. Now it says in verse 11, for no other foundation can a man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. This is 1 Corinthians 3:11. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, the gold metal, silver, the silver metal, and precious stones, and I guess we can throw stones in there instead of bronze, and then also wood, hay, and stubble. Now, that's what you don't want to build on your foundation. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work remain, which he has built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. So here we see that this is a reward center. What remains in your life after you go through the fire is the wonderful works that Jesus did in and through you. These are perfect works and wonderful works that God got the glory for. And therefore, you'll receive a reward. Isn't it like the Lord to do work in and through you, His own work, as He is living inside you? You're in Christ, and He's working in and through you, and then to reward you for it? That's just like the Lord. It's kind of like with a little child. You have him help you paint the garage or something. It takes you twice as long. But he's helped, and he's got his little fingerprints in there and all. And you give him a quarter or whatever, or chocolate, which is better, for it to reward him. And that's what God's really saying here. You know, Jesus is going to work in and through us the gold, silver, and precious stones, jewels, and then he's going to give us a reward for it. Now, if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Now, I dare say that I think all of us will suffer some loss because, you see, none of us is perfect. None of us is perfect. And so we're going to have some wood, hay, and stubble. For instance, if we do a work that's a good work for the Lord, by this same token, having in our mind that we're going to get our name on a pew for it, or be asked to stand up at the ladies' luncheon and have applause, then you see, I already have my reward from men and women instead of from the Lord. But the Lord says we should do our works in secret, and they should be motivated by love. That's the whole motivation. Those are the works that will be rewarded for. Those are the perfect ones. Those are the gold, silver, and precious stones. Wood, hay, and stubble is from wrong motivation. And also, of course, all the bad things also grouped in there, burnt away as we go through this fire. And so it is a time to then be ready to receive the rewards. Now, you know, I believe the Lord gave me an example of this. It really blessed me in studying this. And that is the tabernacle. Now, the tabernacle in the Old Testament is given as a shadow of things to come. It's a picture of what's in the heavenlies. And so I began to think about the tabernacle. And you think about in the courtyard of the tabernacle, and we had that tabernacle out here on our field a few years back. Do you remember the place where the fire was burning, where the wood was burning? It's called the altar. And the real altar on the tabernacle is 7 foot square, 7 by 7 by 7 by 7. And on that altar, the sacrifices of the animals would be brought. And the priest would burn the animals on the altar, sometimes just the fat. And parts of the animal were given to eat to the priest, and parts of the animal given to the offerer. And there would be kind of a communion there together, eating together, a feast. But there was one sacrifice called the burnt offering. And the burnt offering was the offering of consecration, to be dedicated totally to the Lord, sold out to Him, to just really go hard for Jesus, go hard for the Lord. And then the offerer would bring a lamb, and the lamb was completely consumed in the fire. The whole lamb just burnt right up. And of course, we know that every sacrifice points towards the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross for us. And did he not give it all? Was he not completely consumed for us? To be leaving heaven, born as a baby in a manger, raised going through all the things that we go through, and yet he was without sin. And then after proving himself, he took his perfection and he put himself on the altar of God. He got right inside of that fire, and he was burnt totally up, in a sense, in giving his blood for us and suffering the beating for us. By his stripes we are healed, and giving it all over in total consecration to God. And so Jesus did that for us, so that actually when we go through the fire, we're going to come out on the other side. Hallelujah. Our consecration, our service for God is going to be honored and rewarded because it will be lasting and it will be there. Now, if you have no rewards to receive, you'll have to go to the great white throne judgment. Because when Jesus Christ enters your life, there's going to be some good works of Jesus done. You can't get by it. Because to accept a powerful, wonderful God like Jesus into your heart, you're going to do something right sometime in your life. You know what I'm saying? Because Jesus is powerful and you're being daily conformed to his image. Now, you're not going to get all the way up there where Jesus is as far as good works. Oh, no. He went around doing good works and his sacrifice was wonderful and complete. So he's the only one, actually, that could be the sacrificial lamb to be totally consecrated, to be totally consumed for God. The rest of us are hit and miss. And so there'll be some wood, hay, and stubble. But as we go through that fire, we will then have all of the bad stuff just simply burnt away. And on the other side, because of Jesus, and because I'm in Christ, and because Christ is in me and has worked through me, there'll be something left. Hallelujah. And then I begin my march up to the Holy of Holies, where the Shekinah glory of God rests in the mercy seat over the ark and the cherubim reaching out their wings. And by the way, the best Ark of the Covenant I've ever seen is in the Indiana Jones movie. If you really want to see a good one, go rent that movie. I hope that's not a bad recommendation. Anyway, so we approach the Holy of Holies. Where is my wood and my hay and my stubble? Where is it? It's back there, Jack and Joe and Jill. It's back there. And it's gone. So then I fulfill 1 John chapter 3, verse 2, when I see him and he puts his eyes in my eyes because he's there on the throne. He's in the Holy of Holies. And I look at him. I'm perfect. When I see him, I'm going to be like him. And I am going to just have him and what he did in my life standing before him. And then he receives me and he accepts me. And with total love, the redemption is there. And so at that point, there's just total communication. There's total fullness of joy. And I want to give you a couple of promises before we end today. Let's just go ahead and have a couple of promises from the New Testament on this event that will happen to us one day. And so let's turn over then to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 23 before we take communion here. First Thessalonians chapter 5. And verse 23. Now the very God of peace sanctify or separate you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless. Let's say that word together, blameless. Blameless. Unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that called you, who also will do it. So who's going to do it? Jesus is going to do it. Now my favorite, and we'll end with this, is my favorite one, Jude 24. It's the little tiny book just before Revelation. And it's only one chapter. Verse 24 of Jude. Now unto him that is able. Who is able? Jesus. To keep you from falling and to present you faultless. Let's say faultless. Faultless. Before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. You know, I love it when the Lord uses an adjective. He usually says things straightforward. He says what he means, and he means what he says. But here he uses the adjective exceeding joy. And so as we imagine and sing that song and enjoy that song, I can only imagine, include exceeding joy with it, because this is what the Lord tells you will be there as you see him face to face, exceeding joy. And there, what we do with that will be a joyful response. And that's what the kingdom of heaven is. The kingdom of heaven is joy and righteousness and peace in the Holy Ghost. And so this is what's coming for you and for me. And our hope is in Jesus. He's the one that went through the fire. And as we pass through the fire, anything that's not of him will just be gone and not remembered anymore. Praise the Lord for that. Let's pray together and then we'll take communion. So, Father, we do thank you, Lord, for this instruction. It's so encouraging. And, Father, we just, Lord, want to rest in your finished work. And, Lord Jesus, Lord, we want to be with the Apostle Paul, pleasing you, accepted by you. Lord, help us to be in you. And that's what we want to do just now, brothers and sisters, and maybe somebody here that's never accepted Christ before as your Savior. It's so important to be accepted by God Almighty, the maker of you and I and the universe. We must be found in Christ. He's our only hope. And so we want to spend a time in silence. And for you, if you've never accepted Jesus, just come to him in your heart. Man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. And just say to him in your heart, Lord Jesus, please forgive me of my sin and wash me clean. I understand and realize that you are the sacrifice for my sin. And be willing to forsake your sin, to give it up to him, to trust your life with him, to want to be in Christ and Christ in you. Ask him to come into your life. Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and I knock. If any man will hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and sup with him. And we're going to have the Lord's Supper here in a minute, and he with me. And then for the Christian, if we have been straying, if we have been backsliding, we need to get back on the right path. Jesus doesn't leave. It's us that leave him. That's why he says that we're to return to our first love. And so you can, in this time of silence, just say, Lord, I want to walk in you. I want to talk in you. I want to be with you. I want to love you. I want to be found in Christ. And God will answer that prayer. And so let's take a time of silence now as we go to the Lord and ask him about these things and commit ourselves afresh and anew to him. So, Father, we thank you now for seeing our hearts. Thank you that you look on the heart, Lord. Enlarge our hearts that we might run the way of righteousness, Lord. Thank you so much, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. This time we're going to have communion, and so the men will come forward and we'll take communion together. The way we take communion here is that we'll wait till everyone's served, and then you can we'll all take it together. So let's pray together. Father, thank you so much for this bread. We pray you'd bless it. We know that at the Last Supper, you blessed the bread, and you distributed it to the disciples. So, Lord, we thank you for that, and we ask your richest blessings on this bread this day. In Jesus' name, amen. In the night that Jesus Christ was betrayed, he took the bread, and he broke it, and he said, "This is my body, which is broken for you." And we do this in remembrance of him, in Jesus' name.
Let's pray for the cup. Father, Lord, we want to thank you for burning up the hay, wood, and the stubble and discarding that, Lord. And thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit to guide us through this life as we seek you. Lord, we thank you for the forgiveness of sins. We know that you're faithful and just to forgive us our sins as we confess them before you and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. So, Lord, we just acknowledge you now as we partake of the cup. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's stand together to take the cup. Quoting from the scripture, Jesus said that this is the blood of the New Testament, in my blood is the phrase we want there, in my blood, which is shed for the remission of many sins, which include all of our sins, washed, clean, and pure. And so we take the cup in faith in Jesus' name. Would like to say to any of you that accepted Christ this morning in your heart, as you were doing the heart togetherness with the Lord, to be sure to tell somebody, tell the person next to you in church today before you leave that you did that. Because Jesus said, if you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father in heaven and all the holy angels. And then, wow, to be accepted in the beloved. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And if you desire prayer for anything, the prayer room's open, the door's open there waiting for you. We do have Bibles if you need a Bible. May the Lord bless you. Have a great day in Him. Just walk in the Lord, talk in Him. God bless you and keep you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.